This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
It seemed, well, strange or odd, so unusual to them. After what had just happened, you know, the loss, the grief. After 7 days without food, without drink, without sleep, 7 days in intense prayer, he didn't choose food. He didn't choose clean clothes or a nap or a bath. Instead, he chose to worship. He needed to worship. But I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's recall 2 Samuel chapter 11, where you find the full account, the embarrassing and foolish decision that David made to bring Bathsheba to his bed. And then he learned that she was pregnant with his child. And then the subsequent decisions that he made to cover it up. I think everyone is familiar with the account, even if you're not a Christian. But let's turn over to chapter 12. After David is confronted by Nathan, God's prophet, and faces his sin, he admits it, and then he has to live with the horrible consequences of that sin when his son falls ill. Verse 15, David did what any father would do. He prayed for the life of his child. He pleaded to God. He laid on the ground for 7 days and nights, all night long, all day long, and he prayed. Maybe it seemed unseemly for a king to lie on the ground like that. I don't know. Maybe they were worried that he didn't eat or drink, and they were just worried about his physical health. Verse 17 says that the elders of the household stood beside him all night in order to raise him up from the ground. But he was unwilling and would not eat the food they brought him. And then on the seventh day, the child died. And no one wanted to tell David because, you know, they were afraid that he would do harm to himself. And so David perceived the child was dead when he heard them whispering. It must have been a frantic whisper because he knew. And that's when he did what seemed to them to be the strangest thing. Verse 20 says, so David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Does that seem, I don't know, odd to you or strange? He lost his son due to his own selfish decisions. God struck his son with an illness that he never recovered from. So why worship? I mean, Job did that too. He worshiped. When all was lost, he worshiped. I mean, remember chapter 1 when we learned about the man named Job and all of his wealth, his amazing family. But then in verse 13 of that same chapter, after we learn all of those great things, he starts to lose it all. One by one, messenger by messenger, he learns that it's all gone. His family, his wealth, his livestock. And after all that, verse 20 gives us his reaction. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. When Abraham prepared to sacrifice his son Isaac on the mountain, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 3 through 4, you know, it tells us that Abraham prepared for that journey by saddling his donkey and took two men, his son, and wood for the burnt offering, and went to the place God told him to go. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And when Abraham told his servants on that day, may seem strange to some. See, verse 5 says, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you. And Abraham took the wood and the knife and Isaac, and he went up to the mountain. And then after God stayed his hand from sacrificing his son, Abraham and Isaac, he worshipped. And Paul and Silas sang and prayed in prison after their clothes were torn off and they were beaten. They sang and they prayed. They worshipped. Acts chapter 16, verse 22 through 24. And maybe this, I don't know, maybe this seems all, you know, strange to us, like out of place, inappropriate. You know, when we're at our lowest point, when we are filled with grief, like Job, or maybe self-loathing, like David, we made this, you know, terrible, horrible mistake that we're going to have to live with the consequences for the rest of our lives, or our children will, or, you know, someone that we know, you know, not knowing where to turn, when no control of the events have brought us to this place, and we have no control of those events, what do we do? And where do we go first? Shopping? I mean, I've been told that. Let's go shopping. Or chocolate? Or movies? Or, you know, to numb the pain, to distract from the grief, to deflect from the reality that it's always there. It's waiting to close in on us, waiting for the shopping to be over and the credit cards to be maxed out, the chocolate to run out, and the bathroom scale to show that. And the movies will end. I think that maybe we might behave more like the elders of the house who had platters of food, trying to coax David off the floor, or maybe trying to make sense of the horror like Job's friends did, like too many of us do, you know, try to figure out the answer to the question of why. Why did this happen? Why did this happen to me, to my husband, to my child, to my grandchild? You know, just that question, why? The question that cannot be answered. The question that, you know, really isn't productive. And the pain is really too much for a casserole or a bath or a change of fresh clothes. When those cannot soothe the soul, there's nothing that can compare to worship. You know, when it's over, then it's time to get up. It's the act of worship that brings it all into perspective, doesn't it? You know, the humble state of worship, the reminder of our relationship of our soul to our God. The act of humility that reminds us that, you know, we are His creation and we are but dust. Psalms 103, verse 13 to 14. You know, the songs that we sing that remind us that God is good. God is merciful. He's kind and He's long-suffering. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It's in that act that we get the reminder that He is bigger than us, that, you know, this time, this space, this moment of pain, all of the things David knew, that God is just, and all the things Job knew, that God is merciful, what Abraham knew, that God keeps His promises, and that Paul knew, that a focus on those things that last longer than a casserole or shopping, you know, or even the chocolate fix. You know, we worship because, well, when life was hard for Him, our Lord, when death was close to Him, our Lord preached about hope. He sang songs. He prayed diligently, even when His friends failed Him, when people thought Him strange or odd, and they just didn't understand, you see. When life was hardest, Jesus worshiped. Matthew chapter 26 and 27. And that is what David understood too when he said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits, the God who is our salvation." Psalms chapter 68, verse 19. And that's why David, even though it seemed, you know, strange or odd to the elders of the household, that's why David did it. That's the first thing that he did. He worshiped. And that's why we worship too. And it is for this. For that humble spirit. For that craving and that need to worship. It is for this that I bow my knees today.
We thank you for joining us today. We hope you have enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.